Your heart. It's the only one you have. Fortunately, you also have a choice. Expert cardiologists, talented surgeons, highly skilled specialists, all of whom chose WakeMed. Why? The main reason is the same reason patients choose WakeMed. Everything you need for the best possible care is right here. Learn more at WakeMed.org. WakeMed Heart and Vascular Physicians. Your heart, your choice.
You can also check us out on YouTube. Look up 99.9 The Fan Raleigh on YouTube. A lot of our previous segments covered a lot on North Carolina and the NIT, a lot about Duke, a lot about the Carolina Panthers and what they're going to do ahead of the draft as they pick up some free agents. And Chad Brown joins us now on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline, former NFLer, now part of Compass Media Networks, ESPN+. Chad, what's going on, man?
Oh, man, a crazy couple days of NFL free agency, and I got to give a shout-out to the bumper music, Eric B. and Rakim, one of my favorites, and I ain't no joke, it's certainly at the top of their list of their hits.
That's on Dennis, our producer. We like it when we kick it old school from time to time. Do you feel free now that Aaron Rodgers has spoken? We are now like able to kind of move on with our. He finally spoke to Pat McAfee. I don't know if we get 8 more weeks of winter, but we certainly get some more talk about where he's going. I guess the Jets are the thing. It's up to the Green Bay Packers to let him out. What's going on here?
I don't know what's going on there. When this whole Aaron Rodgers saga started really more than 2 years ago, and some of it was Russell Wilson as well, where these quarterbacks were beginning to step out of the quarterback room and want to have a conversation with the head coach and the GM about, you know, who should be on the roster. They wanted to add personnel assistant to their titles. I was in favor of it. And I was saying, you know what? These guys have played and been successful. Aaron Rodgers won a Lombardi Trophy, was a league MVP. Russell Wilson won a Lombardi Trophy. So these guys deserve to be able to have the conversation about how do we move forward? What's the best way for our team to be built? How would I, you know, what receivers would I like to see in the wide receiver room? Not to say they need to be involved in any decision making, but they deserve to have a conversation about those kind of things. So now we've gone from, hey, Chad, yes, I agree these guys have enough skins in the wall that they deserve to be part of this conversation, to where Aaron Rodgers is reportedly, whether it's true or not, giving the Jets a list of guys who he wants to see on the roster. We saw the Green Bay Packers do some things that Aaron Rodgers wanted to do personnel-wise. Mm-hmm. We saw Russell Wilson, you know, navigate his way out of Seattle because of personnel moves that were made that he didn't like and things like that. So now we've gotten to a point where the original thought was, yeah, I'm okay with that, to now I've got pushback on all of this. At some point, you are a football player and your job is to play. There are folks upstairs in those offices who are professionals at this, and their job is to secure personnel and build teams and to coach football teams. So if you're Russell Wilson having Tuesday meetings with the guys giving your scouting report, I'm not sure if that helps Nathaniel Hackett. If you're Aaron Rodgers telling Robert Saleh who they need to sign in the New York Jets, I'm not sure if that really helps. So now we've gone from a point of, yeah, I think you should be involved, to no, you've overstepped the bounds so far. Shut up and play quarterback.
Chad Brown joining us on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. That's Joeyus. I'm Joe Giglio. Always a risk to ask a cold question from somebody you've never talked to before about an old coach, but Bill Cowers from Raleigh went to NC State. You started your career with the Steelers. Please tell me you have a good story about the chin for us.
Bill Cowers is an awesome dude. Love Bill Cowers. I went to my first Hall of Fame weekend when he was inducted last year. It was a tremendous event. Got the chance to thank him and congratulate him personally. Let me see, a great Bill Cowers story. Well, this involves a couple of people. So Bill Cowers, obviously, you know, tough guy, former NFL linebacker, special teams guy. Well, we had some pretty bad linebackers on that Pittsburgh Steelers team, Greg Lloyd and Kevin Green. And if anybody knows anything about Greg Lloyd, Greg Lloyd was a bad man. For about 5 years, was the baddest man in football. 10th degree, taekwondo, black belt. Everyone was absolutely afraid of Greg on that Pittsburgh Steelers team. So in the old Three Rivers Stadium, you know, the locker rooms were kind of coming out from a dugout. So you kind of walked up some stairs to get out from the locker rooms up onto the playing field. And Greg and Kevin were out there during special teams practice playing around with the jugs machine. and Bill Cowher's coming up the stairs, coming onto the practice field. And so from about 30 yards away, they unleash this ball at Bill Cowher, hits Bill right in the groin. And Bill, you know, does the thing, you know, he goes down, he grabs his groin, and he comes back up, and the chin is out, and he's got the Bill Cowher hands, and he's looking over the field, who did this? And, you know, he's about to bring some holy hell onto somebody. Then he sees that it's Greg. And so he instantly goes from Bill Cowher with the chin out and softens up and goes, ha ha, fun, funny one, good one, Greg. So even as tough and as bad as Bill Cowher is, he recognized that was not a fight he was going to win.
Chad Brown joining us here on the OG, former Steeler. And you do sports talk out in Denver. I know that was at 104.3 out in Denver. I'm curious. This is where we also kind of tie things together with Riley. This is a small world, Chad. It's funny how all these things are connected. You know, Bill Cowher's from here. The Russell Wilson experience, as you mentioned, seems to be going through some changes. When he got there, what was your overall impression of him? And after this particular season, and just kind of, I mean, people like dunking on Russell Wilson this year. How did that kind of change? Did your perception change of him? How did it go from the start to where we are right now?
Well, I did a coaching internship in Seattle with Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson. So this was a year after they lost the Super Bowl to the Patriots.
Okay.
So the Legion of Boom was kind of still in effect. Cam Chancellor was holding out at that point. But Earl Thomas, Richard Sherman, all those guys were there. Michael Bennett, Cliff Averill up front. So that defense was still mostly intact. Mm-hmm. And Russell Wilson was just kind of beginning to, you know, feel himself and want to be the face of the franchise. And Pete Carroll was kind of stuck in both places. How do I pay, you know, respects to this defense, but how do I elevate this guy who, you know, is an up-and-coming player and one of the better quarterbacks in the league at that point? You know, so it was a very interesting time to be an intern there. Mm-hmm. But one of the last preseason games that I was there, the floor was opened up by Pete at the Friday night meeting. The game was Saturday. At the Friday night meeting and the team meeting at the hotel. And Pete said, anybody who wants to speak, you know, go up and stand up and speak. So Doug Baldwin got up and, you know, talked about and gave a very Doug Baldwin, you know, fire and brimstone kind of speech, as Doug is prone to do. A couple of the guys got up and spoke. And then Russell got up to speak. And I was sitting in the back where the defensive lineman was. That was the group where I was doing my internship. Mm-hmm. And it was a bunch of other defensive guys around there. So as soon as Russell Wilson got up to speak, almost to a man, that entire defense that we think of and we know of rolled their eyes and sat back and were like, oh my goodness, here's this dude again. And, you know, I had heard Russell Wilson whispers, uh-huh. and I heard some guys say some, you know, words that clearly weren't coming from a place of tremendous respect for Russ.
Yeah, they weren't teasing him. This was there was some venom behind it, right?
There was, yes, but this was the biggest public show of dislike and a lack of respect for us that I had seen. We are in a team meeting, mm-hmm. and there's a collective sigh and rolling of the eyes and crossing of the arms, and now we got to listen to this dude talk again. From that point forward, I was there for about another week after that. You know, I was politely asking questions, you know, what's going on with that? Where's that coming from? And guys were kind of filling me in to some of their feelings and all that. So when the Russell Wilson news was announced, in Denver, I, on my radio show was like, hey, this Russell Wilson thing, while it all seems great right now, there's a certain slippery slope to all of this. Mm-hmm. And I would be remiss if I didn't tell you about my experience in Seattle and some of the things that were said and some of the feelings that were felt. And while, you know, Russell Wilson is definitely considered to be a good dude, he did not engender himself to his teammates. There was not a lot of respect from some guys on the opposite side of the ball. There were also some guys in the offense who felt that way as well.
Yeah.
So Nathaniel Hackett's got a very tricky situation that he's got to navigate to make all this work.
Which...
And then Nathaniel Hackett comes out and is not trying to be a stoic coach. He has turned into a cheerleader at Russell Wilson's introductory press conference. Russell freaking Wilson, I couldn't be more excited. And I'm, you know, again, I'm on my radio show. I'm like, whoa, this is already entering into the territory that was difficult for Pete Carroll. I'm not sure how a first-time coach like Nathaniel Hackett's going to handle this, because this dude comes with an entourage. This dude comes with all these expectations. He issues out a 15-page dossier each week to the offensive play caller about plays that he wants to see called. So, you know, I said all this to my listeners on my radio show.
Yeah.
And as the season progressed, all those worst fears and concerns really started to reveal themselves. The entourage was traveling on the road, and he had his own office in the building, and his quarterback coach was there in the building, and all these weird things that we don't hear of from other players. So I guess to fast forward and ask you and answer the question you asked last,
you knew.
How do I feel about it now?
Yeah.
Russell Wilson, I think, needed to be humbled. And this last season, I think, was the humbling that he needed. And a coach like Sean Payton, who's going to come in and, you know, recognize Russell Wilson's got some skin in the walls, but also recognize you got some privileges that were far outside of anything that I'm willing to offer. And you've got to rein yourself in. And if you can't, I will be the guy to do that.
It's interesting you bring that up. And Chad Brown joining us, former Steeler, former NFL, does sports talk out in Denver. And we kind of got sidetracked in this conversation because I was curious with this year with Russell Wilson.
You need to check out our podcast that we did about Russell Wilson.
So Jillio,
you would enjoy it.
Jillio covered NC State when Russell Wilson was there. I was doing sports talk radio, as I am now, during that time. And you talk about the humbling part. Here is my curiosity, and I'm really intrigued by your answer here. I don't think the public humiliation of Russell Wilson can humble him. I think he's impervious to that kind of stuff. I really do think that's the case. But Sean Payton can. So that's how do you see that meshing? Is Sean Payton the guy with the respectability that can get Russell Wilson to actually play ball?
I think so. I do think so. And Sean Payton had a few sound bites when he was given some of his conversations at the combine and after becoming the coach of the Broncos.
No guy, all that stuff. He quickly shot that down.
Right. So it was our guy from my radio station who asked that question.
Mm-hmm.
And Sean Payton, while he tried to act as if he hadn't heard that before, but then he also shot it down. I'm sure Sean Payton was aware of that. But he's trying to play it softly, but also let Russell Wilson know that that's not going to happen. So I think Sean Payton, to use a phrase I use a couple times, has enough skins on the wall to get Russell Wilson to essentially toe the line. And I'm not sure if that would have happened without the humbling of last season.
Okay.
Russell Wilson wasn't just a bottom half quarterback. He was one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL. The Broncos offense has been in a tailspin for 5 years, yet it scored more points with Drew Locke than it did with Russell Wilson last year. So at some point, there is no denying just the sheer numbers of it all. So the numbers, the public perception, the mockery of Russell Wilson from other players in the NFL, when a kicker is mocking you with your let's ride stuff, at some point, you've got to be able to look the man in the mirror.
Yeah, man.
I know you've been told by your mental performance coach to acknowledge nothing bad, but you got to acknowledge reality along the way, don't you?
We might need to do an extra episode with Jack Brown. Dennis, please send him a link to the podcast.
An epilogue on our Russell Wilson podcast.
Love it.
Chad, all fascinating stuff. We appreciate your time, man. Hopefully we can talk to you in the future.
Yeah, we didn't even get
Good
to the
stuff,
Panthers.
Guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, take it easy.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Drive podcast. I'm Tim Donnelly here with Coach Pete DeRuta, America's wealth coach and best-selling author. Coach, one of the big questions I always hear is, do I have enough money to retire?
Well, maybe, maybe not. The most important thing is you have lifetime income you can never outlive. We'll design that plan for the next 10 people who call. No cost or obligation. Put yourself in control of retirement.
Call 800-691-3215. You can also text Tim to 600-700. That's T-I-M to 600-700. You'll hear from Coach Pete and the Capital Financial Advisory Group.
But once Chad Brown informed us that he was a coaching intern with the Seattle Seahawks under Pete Carroll after they won a Super Bowl with Russell Wilson, I was like, nah, there's no turning back for us. We went down that Russell Wilson rabbit hole, man. Fascinating stuff from Chad Brown. Ezekiel Elliott released by the Dallas Cowboys today. Would you like to see him in a Panthers uniform?
Maybe I'm crazy. I like Deontay Foreman.
Yeah.
I got no problems with Deontay Foreman.
All right.
I mean, there's a lot of miles on Zeke. I wouldn't mind Zeke as a bargain.
Yeah, he's not an every down back now, but at a bargain, pick him up.
I love the Hayden Hurst signing.
Hunter Hurst Helmsley?
Yes.
Big fan of
Triple H. I enjoyed that. That was a nice pickup.
That was a nice pickup, too. And I know what Adam.
Got to help the quarterback.
Apparently, Adam
Thielen. And the number one person to help the quarterback is your tight end.
Yeah. Adam Thielen also, I guess, on the Panthers' radar at wide receiver. They're set to meet, so we'll see. Not that there's a lot of options at wide receiver, but
no,
they are set to
meet.
They
are not.
I mean, the fact that, what was it, Juju Smith-Schuster now with the Patriots.
Juju signed with the Patriots?
He's signed with the Patriots, yeah.
Wow.
Looks like I think that's the case.
Three years, $33
million. Yeah, he had a sneaky good year.
And Jacoby Brissett, if we go to a little Pac-Pro action here, Jacoby Brissett is going to be with the Commanders. And then with Jacoby Myers, just signed with
the Raiders.
Wes Durham, ACC Network, ESPN. He's also the voice of the Atlanta Falcons, joining us on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. Let's actually talk a little NFL here, Wes, before we get to the ACC and the NCAA tournament. The NFC South still seems wide the hell open, man. I mean, I liked Derek Carr, but what are the Falcons doing? What are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers doing? And obviously, the Panthers control the draft now. I'll be curious to see who they take.
You saw what the Bucs did today.
What did I miss?
Baker Mayfield.
They signed Baker Mayfield today?
Yeah, and Lavonte David to a 1 year.
Well, that changes everything.
No, really. No, it doesn't. I think, and I think I told you guys this last week in Greensboro, as long as Tampa gets the bulk of their defense back and on the field, they have to be considered the favorites in this division until proven otherwise.
Okay.
That's how good they are defensively. Now, they're losing some guys defensively, but, you know, they've done a pretty good job on that side of the ball of keeping guys in-house, and signing Lavonte David, that is a cap-friendly deal, a 1 year today for Lavonte David. You know, they were really good up front. They were injured in the offensive line. We all know that last year. They've already released Leonard Fournette, right? So they're looking for some run game. I think they like Vaughn, the kid from Vanderbilt, that helped them a little bit. But beyond that, I mean, we still got miles to go in this. Now, I'll say this. Carolina's done some nice things. Hayden Hurst, hell of a player now. Hell of a player. You guys are really going to enjoy him. This will be his third team in 4 years, but you're going to enjoy Hayden Hurst. Really good guy. Great guy, in fact. Enjoyed him in Atlanta, and I think he'll be a star in Charlotte, especially with the way things are developing at quarterback. Now, to answer your question, Julia, or obvious, Atlanta signed Taylor Heinicke to a backup deal yesterday.
To a backup deal, okay.
Ooh.
Well, I mean, he could compete with Ritter and maybe win the job, and I'm sure they'll present competition.
Yeah, I think so. Well, it's just like the Carolina
we
Panthers.
We like Heinicke on this program.
I like Heinicke, too, and I think Heinicke's got some value in Atlanta's offense because he and Ritter are not that far apart from what they do what Arthur Smith wants.
The Carolina Panthers signed Andy Dalton. Clearly, as that is a true backup role. I understand why they went with him versus, say, Jacoby Brissett, who's still trying to be a starter. We kind of know where Andy knows where he is right now in his career. Although it finally definitively answers a question Adam Gold and I would debate all the time: who's better right now, Andy Dalton or Cam Newton? We can definitively say Andy Dalton is better than Cam Newton right now.
Cam Newton's better on the gram, but Andy Dalton on the field.
Cam's living his best life being an influencer right now. Good for him. He's transitioning into his next phase, and I love to see it.
Now, Atlanta helped themselves in other areas besides Taylor Heinicke. Atlanta signed Jesse Bates. They're getting Jesse Bates, the safety from Wake Forest off the Bengals. Mm-hmm. Anya Mata, the defense.
Oh!
It's our Panthers. Scouts right there just sniping West.
Scout West off the screen.
We're not getting any Falcons intel.
No.
or it was Arthur Blank himself like, hey, man.
Hey, stop giving the game away.
I don't pay you to go on the radio in North Carolina and give away trade secrets for the Falcons. Not allowed.
Give away the game. Absolutely giving away. Well, hopefully West can come back and his internet connection gets fixed. In the meantime. Well, there he is. There's West. West is back.
So
Arthur Blank shut you down. He didn't want you giving out information here in Carolina.
Are you sure it wasn't Scott Fritterer?
Maybe it was. I don't know.
Okay. Jesse Bates, David Onyemata, Caden Ellis signed yesterday. They also got Jonnu Smith for a seventh round. So, I mean, Atlanta's done fine, but they've still got to find a second wide receiver, an edge rusher, and a left guard. So there you go.
One last NFL note before we leave. Okay. Did you read Calvin Ridley's piece in the Players Tribune?
It's I heard it's really good. And that's I'm hopeful for Calvin that Jacksonville and playing football will be good for him.
Powerful stuff. You should check
it out. I'm sure it is. Yeah, and I think he probably is a guy who in some ways is setting a bar for the new athlete that we're getting ready to have in this culture.
Absolutely.
In some ways. Yeah. Well,
more great news for Cary commuters. With the new GoCary app, you can track your bus live on the interactive map feature. Stay informed with the latest news and service updates right at your fingertips. Save your favorite locations and routes for quick and easy access, making your daily commute a breeze. Plus, with the GoCary app, you can easily connect to GoCary.org for even more resources and information. Best of all, the GoCary app is absolutely free to download on the Apple and Google Play stores. GoCary, where getting there is just a tap away.
Are you ready to buy or sell your home? The Jim Allen Group is a nationally recognized and award-winning real estate team in the Triangle, dedicated to providing exceptional service to meet your needs. With the latest insights and expert market knowledge, they'll make your home buying and selling journey as smooth as possible. Don't wait. Head over to jimallen.com and start your next move today. That's jimallen.com. The Jim Allen Group, your partner in real estate.
Wes Durham, ACC Network, ESPN, our friend, joining us here as we get ready for March Madness. Wes.
We already had it.
Wes.
Last night, we took down the mighty Southeastern Conference, America's Basketball Conference.
Yeah, let's go. Your friend, Jeff Capel, your friend, Jason Capel, getting an NCAA tournament win. I love the halftime interview. Where Jeff Capel goes, I miss this, man.
Good. That was cool. Just to tell straight the truth. Up.
It's true, though. It was a great environment. We, you know, Joe and I have talked a lot about how Dayton really embraces that event. It is very cool.
Just think when we go to 96, what it's going to be like.
Yeah, I know. They'll have a full day or a full week in Dayton, whatever it ends up turning out to be. But, hey, ACC gets off to the right foot there. Mm-hmm. Speaking of foot, though, man, Norchad Ormier, the first minute, and now it looks like he's not going to play against Drake. Talk me off a ledge for the Miami Hurricanes, Wes, because that was the team besides Duke that I have the most confidence in.
I agree.
In this tournament.
I can't talk you off the ledge.
All right.
Because I think they can beat Drake, but I'm not sure they can win the second one. I just don't. I think he's a unique piece in this tournament. Ultimately, there was going to be a matchup, though, that would favor the opponent if he were healthy just because of the size a team would present.
Yeah.
But he is a different cat now, and you see him live, and all of a sudden you realize what a different guy he is.
He's LeBron size linebacker.
Yeah.
Like, he's just big. Not tall.
He's amazing.
Big.
Yeah, he's amazing. Now you're really kind of going to lean on Jordan Miller, Wong, and Pack to go get you a number a game now. And defense has not been their game consistently. They got to get it to 94 feet. Some teams are going to want to thwart that, but we'll see what happens. I still think they can win a couple. I'm just not sure they can go a lot deeper than that.
Speaking of ledges, I hated the way State played against Clemson. I was tremendously disappointed in how they came out in that game.
As disappointed as Clemson ultimately ended up being.
Clemson's wrong at the wrong Wolf Pack, but that might be their shot at Joe to go at some point here. But State, how do they recover from that Clemson game? And I look at Creighton. They've got a couple bigs who could shoot, and
You're winning one way. NC State's winning this thing one way. Why are you getting in your basketball feelings here?
Because of the guards.
Joe, why haven't you talked him out of the basketball feelings? Because you're going to win the game. The NCAA, you're winning this thing at 94 feet, shooting threes, and getting it to Burns on the block. That's not going to change no matter whether you play Creighton or Canisius.
I think this is – maybe it's NC State fans wanting to be like, don't forget we're the ones who are at each other's throats about a basketball program.
Yeah, no, wait a second. Nobody's stealing our angst.
And North Carolina's doing what North Carolina does. They have to have everything. Jillio put me on this game a while ago, and it took me a while. I resisted this.
Okay.
You know, his idea basically being like, North Carolina fans want it all. Want it all.
Sure.
And I think
they're Georgia fans, but yeah, I know what they are. They're like Georgia football fans. They want it all.
But since the Coach K farewell tour and what happened in New Orleans where they sent him off, now they want in on the stuff, right?
Sure.
You know, NC State stuff has been the dominant conversation. Now it's like, wait a minute. What if beating Coach K in the Final Four and literally ending his career means that we can't We can't have any more nice things.
It's probably a trade they still make, but
maybe. I don't know. Because could Carolina fans have been at each other's throats about this?
About the NIT,
NIT, man.
Wait a second. I mean, let me draw the hardcore here, okay?
Okay.
Let's draw the hard line.
Yeah.
Not the line of this year and not the line of last year. Let's draw a harder line. Since the NCAA championship in the desert against Gonzaga.
Yeah.
Okay? Take me through Carolina after that.
You had the Cole. What happened in 18? I can't remember in 18.
Lost
to Texas A&M in Charlotte.
Okay.
Second round. Okay? Wasn't that second round game, Jaleel?
And then we had
19.
We
Iowa
beat
State.
Auburn.
Wasn't that Iowa State?
No, 19 was
Auburn.
We beat Auburn. And then you had the lost Cole Anthony year. Pandemic.
Which was the pandemic. And by the way, would you have gone that year? The answer is no.
No, you don't go that year.
And okay.
Then
in 21, you went and you lost to Wisconsin at Mackey Arena.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Okay. And
with this group that's now,
Okay. In 22, you played good for how many weeks?
4-5 weeks.
And then now this. Caught a heater, though. Caught an all-time heater.
Yeah, you did. Look, I've been saying
now,
this,
wait
Wes.
A second. A year ago, y'all were telling me this is – that the last game in Cameron and the Final Four was the forever games.
Oh, it
forever.
Is. They are forever in terms of how fans talk. No,
okay.
in terms of how fans talk.
That's where we have to be then. If you're a Carolina fan right now, you got to understand the come around and go around is kind of in effect here.
Aha! So, to that end, I know the joke in NC State circles has been about feels like 83. And it might feel like 83 in a different way if Houston gets to the finals. But
Benny Anders...
I'm starting to think it's feeling like 2010, Wes, where Carolina's coming off a high and Duke is just in shambles, right? They lost on Harrison Barnes and Roy has got this thing cooking. And
I got you.
Coach K is too busy with USA Basketball, Wes.
I hear you. Yeah.
And then what happened in 2010?
Duke went wild.
So
Duke got paid back for the 99 title. That's what happened in 10.
I feel like the way things have been going for Duke and the way that they're playing.
Ricky Moore in Tampa. Is that what you're talking about?
Would it surprise you? This is not a perfect Duke team, but I've been screaming this all year. It's a Duke team that knows what they are.
Sure.
Would it surprise you if they got to the Final Four?
Absolutely not.
Thank you.
Absolutely not. And here's why. Because I saw them in January. Hell, we went to try and buy a beer after they lost by 20-some at
that was
BNC.
An adventure. Yeah.
But what I'm getting at is, think about the team that night, and in the four-game sequence that Dan and I saw, we saw them lose to State, win by one at BC on a Filipowski block, by the way. We then saw them beat Pitt at home when they got 39 offensive rebounds and 52 total or something crazy like that. And then we saw them lose at Clemson. That was our 2 weeks with them. And then I saw them against Virginia Tech. They're dynamically different. They're really good, and they're – and here's the thing. You stopping one is not stopping them all. They've got options. And here's – oh, by the way, Derek Whitehead now is working back toward 100% and could be that guy everybody thought he might be at some point in this tournament. That's the thing you have to look at Duke and be optimistic about. Now, can they beat UCLA? I have no idea. But I'll tell you this. When you throw Filipowski and Lively out there and Young gives you the blue-collar minutes – and Blake's will come in and guard somebody for a little bit and not turn it over and things like that. Yeah, I can see them winning 4 and getting to Houston. Absolutely. Can I see them winning it? You tell me who else is there. Because that is the question. And everybody's in love with UConn for some reason because it's Texas. I haven't seen that yet. But I can see UCLA. I can definitely see Kansas doing this thing again.
So do you think that Jaleel and I are in agreement that for North Carolina, West Durham joining us, ACC Network, ESPN, that skipping out on the NIT for North Carolina was probably the right move because college basketball has changed. I mean,
absolutely.
Right out of the gate, they already had two transfers.
Tyler Nichol, Justin McCoy.
Then you had Dontre Styles do his radio show with Brian Hanks out in Kinston.
Oh, okay.
The other way.
Wait.
You like to get Styles.
Why do I get?
Had it right that one.
I had that, yeah.
You had Styles right.
I had Styles. Well, I said DeMarco Dunn the last time. I got that confused. Yeah. I don't know why I said that yesterday. Anyway, Styles was on with Brian Hanks out in Kinston. He does a weekly hit with him. Tuesdays with Styles.
Wow.
And, hey, man, it's NIL, baby.
Yeah, it is.
So he was like, look, he was very open about the fact that, hey, I wanted to play in the NIT, and I got to think about what I want to do here. And if you are Hubert Davis, you have to also decide who you want here, too. Because I've been arguing this since the Wake Forest loss in Winston-Salem. This roster, you want to go back to what's Carolina been since 2017. You can just highlight this last three-year run with Roy and now these 2 years of Hubert. It might be time to just go in a different direction altogether for Hubert Davis.
But, guys, the core characteristic of how you build teams in college basketball has changed in 4 years.
Oh, what was the picture you saw today that you were fascinated by?
Yeah, Shaquille Moore was playing for Mississippi
State
last night.
I saw that picture, and I saw what you retweeted. Yeah. One player's left in the picture.
Out of the five, and they're probably all top 100 recruits, if not higher. And they all found their own piece.
Yeah.
You know, and
that's what – get ready.
And I kind of think for Carolina, they haven't learned it yet because they haven't really been that active in the portal. But the truth of the matter is you will lose some good players, but you're going to get good ones back too. And if all you got to do is look at Pitt last night and look at their guards last night and look at the situation that they're in. You know, Jeff was up against it. Heather Lake decided to give him another year. A lot of ADs wouldn't have.
He
rewarded her by going to the portal, getting good players, getting older. I think all of them are fifth-year seniors or older that he starts. So that's pretty good. That's an older team that you're going to win with. So Carolina has the ability to do the same thing, and I believe that they will.
It doesn't
need to be wholesale, though, that way, Wes.
No.
You can augment. You can supplement. And I have confidence that Hubert can do that, and I do think it was the right move to say, I want to start working on next year. But
here's the other thing too. Look at what Georgia Tech just did. They said goodbye to Josh Pastner on Friday, and Tuesday introduced Damon Stoudemire.
It was quick.
90 hours, but why? Because of the same logic that applied to football coaches that got fired in late October, early November on the college level, so you could hire a new guy to then shore up the portal and recruiting when December ended. That's where this is.
Yeah, the whole thing's different.
Yeah, if everybody – I mean – look, the 1970s Carolina is not walking through the door anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not where we are 50 years later. And I don't necessarily – I blame a lot of this on Mark Emmert. And quite frankly, he's an easy target because he let this stuff go by. But that's what the portal and NIL and the free COVID year and everything else is coming to play. We're going to be off the COVID calendar after next year. But we're still going to have NIL in the portal, according right now at this point, because Governor Baker is not going to stop until he runs this thing to Congress.
Yeah.
And that's where we are. And we got to react to it. And these guys, didn't John Shire say, 3 weeks ago, I may not recruit as many freshmen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's only being honest with you.
I was going to say, and he shouldn't.
Yeah.
If you got ready guys that you think you can coach up and put together in the court, then you do it.
Kevin Keats has said it over and over again. I want more Jarkel joiners.
Right. Let me ask you this.
I don't want any more freshman point guards. I want a fifth or sixth-year guy to be my point guard.
Let me ask you this question. How many coaches do you think are going to use their full 13 allotment of scholarships on players going forward?
Good question. Don't know.
Oh, full?
How many do you think will use all 13?
None of them should, actually.
Exactly.
Once again, the got man way ahead of his time.
West Durham. ACC Network. We should do a podcast about him.
We should.
It's the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Obi. It's Wes. We appreciate it, man. We will talk to you next week when all five ACC squads are in the Sweet 16.
Oh, boy.
Hashtag go ACC.
Hashtag go ACC. Let's go.
See you guys.
All right,
be well.
Your heart. It's the only one you have. Fortunately, you also have a choice. Expert cardiologists. Talented surgeons. Highly skilled specialists. All of whom chose WakeMed. Why? The main reason is the same reason patients choose WakeMed. Everything you need for the best possible care is right here. Learn more at WakeMed.org. WakeMed Heart and Vascular Physicians. Your heart, your choice.